Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, when I give you these keys, homeboy, don't move my car, man. I'm right in the front, you dig? Don't move my shit, man. Ho, ho, baby, what's your name?
Go, girl, girl, it's your birthday. Over wine, I know you're Thursday.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trey Hayes. You're listening to At the Top. I have Howard Hill on here. I have Nathan Bush on here. And I also have, I think I have Garrett Towers on here. Are you on here, man?
Yep. I'm here, brother.
All right, awesome. Good to have you back, man. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, drinking beer.
Oh, okay. All right. So, guys, I want to thank everybody for listening in and taking the time to do it. I'll get shout-outs out of the way because a lot of people are tuning in right now just to hear their shout-out. Austin Powell, Jacob Jennings, Pat Garrison, Howard Hill, you're listening. You're on the show right now. Andy Hapney, we're actually going to have him on within the next week or so as he goes for the interview. I want to say Wednesday. And we'll follow up with him for anybody that hasn't heard. Go back and listen to it. Matt Hawley, he's not able to be on the show tonight. And then Chelsea Rucker, she's been unavailable for a while now. And we are going to try to get her back on. Guys, feel free to go to our website because it is actually – we actually have a little over 200 page views, which is actually a lot more traffic than I thought we would get just because it's a website. But the cool thing about it is, Howard, you know on those web pages, it actually shows a demographic on where people log in at?
Right, yeah.
And on there, we have people from Wichita, Kansas, two different places in West Virginia, one in Connecticut, one in Canada, Ontario, Canada, and then one in Miami, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, I was like, holy crap. My buddy Adam, who's co-editor of the pages, you're the other editor for it. And I think it's doing awesome. We're actually doing more, it's becoming more progressive. So we're going to see how far that goes. Guys, feel free to go to it because it's in the info for the description of this episode. This is episode number 31. It's crazy that we're that far now, or 32 now. Nathan, we have you on, and we're going to go ahead and get your topic up and going before we get to current events, man. Go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. As I'm laying here still watching Monday Night Raw, anybody listening may be able to chime in on this. I know Howard will have something to say. I've been watching pro wrestling since I was a little kid, and it's always been one thing that has really kind of bugged me, but I wasn't very vocal about it, is when people say, well, you know that's fake. Pro wrestling's fake, this and that. Okay, this happened today. Someone I was speaking with had the nerve to tell me that pro wrestling was, and I quote, fake wrestling is nothing but men running around in tights. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess that was her way of telling me that a grown man doesn't need to watch this. But anyway, move my point along.
Hey, hold on real quick. Hold on real quick. Nathan, there's some stuff going on in your background, man.
Oh, well, hold on just a second.
It's becoming hard to hear you.
Sorry, I moved my telephone. That might have been what it was.
Probably.
We good? We good now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. To move my point along, the question was, or the statement was, as somebody that's actually been in a pro wrestling ring before and fell and had to learn how to run the ropes and do stuff like that, I'm not a pro wrestler, but I've done the stuff that they do. To me, that's insulting. To tell somebody what they're doing, how they make their, like, how people will make their living and enjoy is fake, and that, you know, it's like beneath them because it's entertainment. I don't know. But what are your guys' thoughts on that? Because it really bugged me and almost got me to a point of anger Well, in a way. I don't know. I don't go around telling people that things are fake that they like, even though they clearly are. But
right.
Anyway.
That's the thing. Like, you don't see people in theaters watching a movie, and, like, when Shia LaBeouf is up there, like, just do it, or, you know, something or other. You don't hear somebody stand up and be like, you know, that's fake, right? That didn't really happen. That's just them acting. Like, nobody does that about movies or TV shows, so I don't see why people have to say it about pro wrestling. It's not fake. It actually takes place. It happens. And just like you, man, I've been in a ring. I actually trained alongside Jacob a few years back for a few months. You know, I got in, I did my bumps, paid my dues, helped set up, tear down the ring, and all that fun stuff. And even over the course of the past 2 to 3 years or so, I did backyard wrestling. And I'm not going to mention, you know, anyone else that was involved with that, out of respect for them. But, you know, me and these guys, even though it wasn't pro and it wasn't in a ring, we were still doing our thing. And, one of our fans actually would show up and call us fake too sometimes. And, I don't know, man, it always ate at me. It's always been a thing that's, been eating away at me when, people call it that. Like, going back to my first point there, you never hear somebody yell, that's fake, whenever they watch a TV show or if they watch a movie.
I guess because of the mood I've been in today, it normally when somebody says that, I just kind of brush it aside and say, my line always is, it's not fake, it's predetermined. That's my line normally.
Right.
But this person insisted that this is not real, this is fake, this is garbage, you know, and I'm like, well, okay. You know, I happen
before,
to think
before,
that...
Before we get to Garrett and what he thinks on this, I'll go ahead and let you guys know what I think. Do I think it's fake? Yes and no, but I understand that I love WWE. I love pro wrestling. I mean, Howard... me and Howard went to a show this past weekend, and I had a blast. It was really fun, you know what I'm saying? Even though I knew that we know it's not real fights. We know it's not, like, whatever the storyline is, we know it's just like acting, you know? And it's not, like, real life. When they leave the ring, they're not going to be all, you know, in the same character, you know what I'm saying? So they're playing a part, you know? And I love that. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool for fans, and I think this is one of the biggest reasons that WWE is so huge, is because the fan interaction, you know, with how things play out is usually has to do with what the fans want to see. You know what I'm saying? How the fans want to see something happen. And that's usually how it is. My girlfriend, Kara, she's like, why do you watch that? It's fake. And I'm like, I don't care. It's entertainment. I love it. My son loves it. My son thought it was awesome because he thinks they're really fighting. He's only two. He doesn't know any better. You know, he doesn't know it's fake, and he thinks it's a blast, you know. So that's what it's for. It's World Wrestling Entertainment. You know, it's not UFC. You know what I'm saying? They don't go in there and kill each other. And I think it takes an enormous amount of athletic ability to even get in the ring, you know. And like you guys were saying, doing your bumps and, you know, doing your training and stuff. Garrett, what do you think on this, on whenever Nathan asked, how do you respond whenever people say that the WWE is fake?
If somebody says it's fake, I tell them, well, don't watch it. Don't worry about it. By myself, growing up, when I was a child, I was really big into wrestling. I grew up watching, the Von Erichs, you know what I'm saying? Back in that era, like the 80s and 90s, it has kind of drifted. It is more like a male soap opera, which is, you know, pretty cool because I like it. The injuries are real. They're very real. I mean, the Jack Snake Robertson came to my hometown many moons ago, and he says, yeah, you know, you wake in the morning, you're taking, you know, Advil, Tylenol, whatever they get, you know, whatever you got, and you're sore, you know. I mean, they rehearse, like, a lot. I mean, so you got to know how to be able to act, I guess you could say. But sometimes things go wrong, and injuries very well happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of agree with you. It's partially fake, but also very real.
Yeah, it takes a lot of athletic ability to do half the stuff that they do. You know, you can't get the average Joe in there and think that they have the conditioning to do half the stuff that they do, and it's just not going to happen. You know, I mean, if you do that, then you're just going to look at a pretty crappy match. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be winded within 2 minutes, you know? And if they don't have training, then it just looks like garbage, you know, and that's not what people pay for. But
you know,
that's our take on it. Nathan, if it
helps
you out any.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I just look at it as the point of I've seen, you know, this is entertainment. I'm watching it now as it's going off. I'll take this any day over that real Floyd Mayweather fight that was on a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it just bugged me today, you know.
Yeah, I agree, man. Another big thing is people say that it's fake and stuff, and like Garrett said, don't watch it. You know, I know that. Like, I started watching wrestling back in like 2004. That's when I really started getting into it and stuff. I was like, I was 10 at the time. Yeah, 10, I think. I was 10 at the time, and me and my brothers were really into it. We watched every Monday night. We watched ECW on Tuesday. We watched TNA on Thursday, and we watched Friday Night SmackDown on Friday. You know. And then on Sunday, I'd watch Monday night or Saturday night in the morning. Sunday morning, you watch the Monday Night Raw rerun, you know, for an hour. And I was pretty convinced that it was very entertaining. I loved watching it. I loved, you know, everything about it. You know, and I want for anybody that has said that, and put your feet in one of the wrestler's shoes. Say you're John Cena. Say you're John Cena. All right, or you're talking to John Cena, and you look him dead in the face, and you tell him that it's fake. Do you think that's going to hurt his feelings? Do you think that's going to take anything away from the millions of dollars that he makes? Is that going to take anything away from the fans that boo him or cheer for him? Hell no. Do you think it takes away from him providing for his family? Hell no, it doesn't. He doesn't give a fuck. I mean, I heard that from a close friend of Howard, he did security for at the Civic Center in West Virginia, and they came there a few times, and he said that John Cena's an asshole, you know. And, you know, he always gets paid to do charity events. He always gets paid to do, you know, different types of stuff. But, I mean, when you really think about it, that's everybody. You know, there's a lot of people that do it out of, like, the good graces of their heart. But then there's the select few that do it, you know, even with no publicity, they still do it, you know. And that's hard to find. But, yeah, it's not going to take anything away from them. It's not going to hurt their feelings. I mean, I'll be damned if I'm a professional wrestler and I'm making the big bucks in the WWE and you tell me it's fake, I don't give a damn. That's going to put food in my son's mouth. It's going to put clothes on his back and a roof over his head. Do I care how I get it? No. So I don't understand when people say that it's fake and stuff. Just don't watch it. I'm with Garrett on this one.
Yeah, I read an interesting article one time on a guy named Haku, who is one of the only people that Andre the Giant was ever afraid of. And, you know, I'm a diehard pro wrestling fan, have been for years. I guess that's why I take it so personally. I even wrote a almost 40-page thesis on pro wrestling for my graduate from college.
Nice.
Haku stated one time that guys used to tell him that pro wrestling was fake. And this dude, this is a guy that if you said that to him, this was on account, he has ripped people's teeth out of their mouth.
Oh, God.
He's bit people's noses off. And I'm like, I know everybody's like, oh, those are just rumors. These are just rumors. But, like, these are – I talked to Brutus the Barber Beefcake myself, and I know for a fact, I saw it in his eyes. This is shit that's happened. He's witnessed it. He's witnessed this guy just bite people's noses off in bars and bar fights when they tell him that wrestling's fake. So he's like, I'll show you how fake it is. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, that's one way of getting your point across. Make him look like Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I appreciate you letting me get that topic out. It was really bugging me when I messaged you earlier. So I really need to vent on this.
One more thing before we jump away from this, though, is that I remember not too long ago seeing an old video on YouTube and Facebook going around of back in the 80s, early 90s, the whole secret of it being scripted was so, like, closely guarded by wrestlers that I saw this video of, I forget who this guy was, but he's backstage and this interviewer is talking to him. He's like, so... Do you enjoy this way of living? And, you know, the guy answers, like, only the tough survive, this and that. And then the interviewer goes, well, let me ask you a common question. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, what's a common question? And the interviewer goes, well, I think this is fake.
He goes, you think it's a snake? And just smacks the shit out of him. He's like, you think that's like open hand slap right there? And he smacks him a few times, and the interview's like running away. Like, they would literally beat the shit out of people who called it fake to keep it, you know, to just keep the illusion of it real still. And that was such a cool thing, I think, back in the day. They actually.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, back then, that was the whole point, man. Nikita Koloff had his name changed to Nikita Koloff legally. Mm-hmm. He changed his nationality on his birth certificate to Russian to keep his gimmick. You know, look at these masked wrestlers that didn't take their masks off for 10 years. This was a protected business at one point. Things were so much different back in the 80s. Like, kayfabe was alive and well. Kayfabe, for anybody that doesn't know, that's the believing what you see on pro wrestling. You know, it's one of those things. But like I said, you know, predetermined, scripted, whatever you want to call it, that's how I'm going with it. I'm with you guys. Definitely. And thanks for letting me vent that out. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And another thing I want to say before we jump off of it, because I want to get everybody's, you know, opinions out, is I think it was still good. I mean, even though it was scripted, it was very entertaining all the way up through 2011, 2012. I think as soon as 2013 hit, it got really, really gay really, really quick. That was just me. I was an avid watcher. I watched all the time. I followed up on wrestlers. I followed up on them after the match, you know, stuff, that kind of stuff, interviews, even if they tweeted, stuff like that. And then once, like, 2013 hit, I didn't like it anymore. It got so fake that I couldn't watch it. So I stopped watching it, you know. And then now here recently, they've actually had some really good matches. They're getting back to, I guess, the fundamentals of the entertainment, you know, that people actually feed off of. You know, that's just me, though.
I got a little confession to make real fast, though. I'm going to come out and say this now, that I haven't watched Raw, a full episode of Raw, in months. I haven't really had the desire to want to watch Raw. I don't know, like, I don't get excited anymore when it comes on, although I do hear about, like, the great matches that go on, and I watch them later on through YouTube or on the network or, like, Hulu or something. But I don't tune in and watch it live anymore, and I really... Mm-hmm. Honestly, at this point, only keep up with NXT and the pay-per-views. That's about it. So, it's coming from me being like a lifelong fan. I don't know how that really makes me feel about it, but it's just a thing that's happened lately.
I went through a phase one time. That's it.
Okay. All right, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to listen to World on Fire by Jeremy Cole.
Live every day like it was your last. You only get one life, you don't get another chance. So let's light up the fire, cause my passion's a fire. There's only one way, and that's to the top. Only one life, you don't get another shot. So let's light up the fire,
gonna give it right, bet. And I got that disciple flow, whoa. Hit it one, put me on the right track. And I'm feeling that will to fight back, cause I got that fire, ha, ha. What if you only had one chance? Well, tonight could be your last. You can come like a thief in the night. Say laughing like, ha, ha, ha. If you thinking you ready for the rapture, I'ma go tell you right now, now. God gave me that Holy Spirit strap, and I made my life black. An elevator, I'm looking at him and they yell, hey, like, who made this? I'm like, heaven made it. Did he say hell? Hell yeah, cause that's where he gone. If you'll never make it, but I hope you do. But you know I'm gonna have to pray. You only get one life, man. Up as a passion goes higher, scales
Jeremy Cole, you can feel free to go to my Facebook. He's on my friends list. You can also go to Facebook and type in Jeremy Cole. It's J-E-R-E-M-I and then space Cole. Feel free to go to his Facebook page and send him a friend request. He has a very inspirational story. He went from being pretty bad into drugs and addiction and everything like that into becoming pretty much a God-fearing Christian. So a lot of things have happened since we've last spoken, so hopefully we get him on a future show to touch base with him. All right, so we're going to get into some current events, guys, and there's just a few that I've read off of CNN. Massachusetts man accused of plot to bomb crowded places on behalf of ISIS. When I first read that, I was just thinking, I know this sounds bad, but I was just thinking, oh, okay, another one. So, yes, this guy's white. He goes by, his name is Alexander Ciccolo, also goes by Ali Al-Amiriki. He was charged with felony possession of firearms. Says his father, a Boston police captain, alerted authorities after he made alarming comments, according to a law enforcement source. He had a minimum contact with his son since he turned 7. Just his 23-year-old accepted firearms that he ordered from a person who was cooperating with members of the Western Massachusetts Joint Terrorism Task Force. And he allegedly said he was inspired by ISIS and wanted to set off homemade bombs such as pressure cookers filled with black powder, ball bearings, and glass in places where a large number of people gather, including a college cafeteria. He was arrested accepting guns that included a Colt AR-15, Sig Arms model, a 5.56 caliber rifle, a Glock 17, and a Glock 20. So pretty much he had two fucking rifles and two pistols, for people that don't know, fucking weapons. I think that's crazy. Then again, he didn't really have much influence from his father anyway, because he hasn't seen that. He's now 23, and he hadn't had contact with his dad since he was 7. So you're looking at 16 years he wasn't even talking to his dad. Garrett, what do you think about that, man?
What the fuck? Okay, there's one thing that's been bothering me for a hot minute. These kids, I'm going to say kids because I'm kind of old and I'm talking about everybody younger than me. people sit there and they want to jump on the ISIS bandwagon. They don't know shit about ISIS. You know what I'm saying? They don't know nothing about it. For instance, two females. They're from, like, Europe or some shit. They want to join ISIS. They were pissed off their parents, whatever. They go down, and then they decided after being there and getting raped and smacked around that they didn't want to be there no more. They tried to leave, and they got killed. These fuckers are pretty serious. So I don't know how they can inspire somebody unless you're just wanting attention. I think that's what a big deal is. A lot of these motherfuckers are wanting attention. And they want a little bit of attention from their parents, grandparents, friends, whatever. And they figure that's the only way they can get it. And these guys prey on punks. They prey on weak people that are easy to manipulate and get to. And I'm like, damn, whatever happened to common sense? Back when I was growing up, if you had problems, if you wanted attention from your parents, you broke shit. And they get your ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't understand. If you want attention, say something. Quit being a little bitch. Speak up. That's one thing. All these motherfuckers want attention.
Yeah, I think it's something else, it doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, it really doesn't.
They're a special kind of stupid.
I can't say anything about it, really, because Garrett knows it's a conflict of interest. Garrett, he can say whatever the fuck he feels like. Nathan and Howard, the same. So Garrett, I hope you say some things that I would like to say on behalf of yourself that I may or may not agree to. Nathan,
I hope you
know,
and I'm still working for the military. I see what I want. Hello,
Nathan. What do you think, man?
Well, I heard about this morning. heard the kid was also, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I heard he was trying to make a pressure cooker bomb too. It's about the same thing.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, I thought you did. What happened with teenage angst? Like, you're mad at your parents, they didn't hug you enough as a child, so we're going to do ISIS's bidding? That's a little, like, to the extreme. You know, I don't know, when my parents and I got into it, all we did was, like, I got a drum set and just beat the hell out of it. And, you know, it was like a controlled environment, I guess. I don't know. It's like you said earlier, ISIS, they don't fuck around. They're not here to, you know, they're not playing games. This isn't, oh, we're mad and, you know, we're going to, you know, turn a car over on a college campus. No, these fuckers are out to murder, to kill, and they're not nice people. They're not, this isn't like, you know, just a pissed off teenager organization. These are diehard radicals. I don't know what's going through this kid's mind, but, you know, you want to murder people in college, it's like, it's just not, I don't know. I've never thought about going on a college killing spree. It never entered my mind, so I guess I can't really see where he's coming from here. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, find something better to do with your time, you know?
It sounds like they need to get laid or get a happy sock.
Yeah.
just throw that out there. I mean, when I was growing up, I said to my parents, I was going out to either do two things. I was either going out to get drunk or get sex. And usually I end up getting laid.
I'm glad somebody did.
Really, the only.
Well, I mean, it was a little town, you know, a bunch of wheat fields. I got all your shit.
Yeah, Howard. Now, since you probably don't have a lot to say about this, because they've pretty much covered a lot. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it goes deeper than just random people saying that they're inspired by ISIS? Do you think that these are like diehard anarchists, or do you think that they just want attention? Do you think it's caused because they don't get enough attention from their family or their parents or whoever they're seeking attention from? What do you think?
I don't know, man, because I know a few anarchists, and the ones I know don't contemplate doing things this extreme. I feel like a bit of it does come from neglect from family and friends. I mean, honestly, A person with a healthy mentality who has friends that, you know, they constantly keep in touch with, they constantly talk to, they constantly go out and do things with, that they're not going to, you know, think up things like this. I can guarantee you any of these guys that say that they're going to do this for ISIS or this or that, they were shunned at school. They were treated as a weird kid. They never really had many friends or people that invited them to hang out. Their family might not have given them as much love and attention as they needed, but there's something definitely wrong with these guys if they really think that they're going to be able to do these actions in the U.S. The U.S. has definitely been stepping up their game on being able to catch these events before they're able to take place. And that's a good thing. That's pretty much improved. But I don't know, man. I really don't think that these guys are too healthy in the mind. Like, their mindset is kind of fucked, you know?
Yeah, I don't agree with, I mean, you know, I wasn't necessarily, like, thrown in a trash can, stuffed in a locker at school. I got made fun of because I was short. Some girls wouldn't date me because I was shorter than them. But at 4'11 in middle school, if I wanted to date somebody that I was taller than, my options were limited. You know what I'm saying? So I actually had to convince girls that it was cool to date somebody that was shorter than them. You know what I'm saying? So I just had to just change the game. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't go and, like, sit in a corner and think, oh, well, maybe I'll just blow the fucking girl's house up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't go to that extreme, you know? And another thing is just, like, for people's mindset are trying to justify, oh, well, I'm going to get this for attention. Why the fuck are you trying to seek attention from people that you're not going to get it from? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out there that are trying to be fake. There's a lot of people out there trying to trying to be like somebody else to get attention from people that they really honestly shouldn't care about. You know, and neglect, that doesn't justify trying to do this stuff either, you know?
Well, think about it like this. Okay, like earlier, I believe one of the gentlemen said, you know, neglecting the parents. Now, when I was growing up, personally, my dad was never there. My dad had he had swing shifts, so he'd work like 7 days day shift. When he got home, he ate dinner and he went to bed. And then when he was off for one day, he'd go back to, you know, 7 days of night. So he slept all day. So my dad was really never in my life. It was always just me, my mom, my two sisters. Now, when I was able to spend time with him, he did what he could to put food on the table. You know what I'm saying? And the economy, you know, the prices of fuck everything has gone up so drastically that maybe these parents are having to work harder and longer hours just to provide for the family, and they feel they're not spending enough time with them. You know, but they should bring that up to them. And in another sense, nowadays, I don't know how you are treating your son, but my son, he knows better. I have no problem with the fear of God in my son. And I can tell you right now, he is the most respectful kid you'll ever meet. He says, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, and thank you. But I was very stern with him. And I believe that discipline has been blown out of proportion. You know what I'm saying? When they're young, they get away with murder. You know, they let them get away with whatever. They're not going to discipline. They're like, oh, here, go time out. Time out ain't going to do a damn thing. You need a beat ass.
And here's the thing, to justify what you're talking about, Garrett, this is how people really have to think about it. If they're not going to listen to their parent that gave birth to them, that takes care of them, by simple rules of saying that please and thank you or asking to have something, or just something simple. You know, how long is it going to be until they're out not listening to, you know, their teachers or people
authority.
That care about them or even authority, you know, in any way. You know, if they don't have respect
for authority
then...
Mm-hmm,
yeah, exactly.
They'll fuck themselves and they're going to do their own thing. That's the problem.
Yeah.
When I was in school, point blank, the teacher or the principal would call the parent. This is what your son did. And they say, beat his ass. And then you get your ass whooped by the principal. Then you get home, you get your ass whooped by your mama. And when your dad gets home and hears the story, he beats your ass. I got 3 ass whoopings nearly daily. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I learned to be on my P's and Q's and not get caught. These kids nowadays are like, man, go fuck yourself. And the next day they bring in like a shank and they're stabbing motherfuckers. They're shooting them. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what the bad thing is? It's gotten to this point, okay? I'm going to give you a scenario, okay? So this kid grows up, he can't be disciplined because CPS will be called, right? All right, and then he goes to school, and then they say they go do some heinous crime like Columbine, you know, and then they look back on the parents like, oh, you raised him wrong. You know, is it the parents' fault? Yes. But at the same time, it's kind of like a contradiction because you're not able to discipline your kids as if I was disciplined when I was a kid or if Nathan, how he was disciplined as a kid or Howard, however he was disciplined as a kid. It's just not okay nowadays. And for some fucking, somebody put that in somebody's fucking mind thinking that, oh, they're going to be, you know, emotionally damaged for their entire life. Well, I think everybody's going to be fucking emotionally damaged. You know, if you see at 3 years old, you see a butterfly crush, you know, you're going to be like, oh my God, my life is over. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't deserve that. I'm going to be emotionally damaged. They're going to come up with some retarded-ass, like, justification stating that, oh, you're going to be emotionally damaged if you're treated wrong or if you're yelled at. But I yell at my son because he does dumb shit. You know what I'm saying?
That was the worst analogy,
the first
man.
Time. What?
Curse
yeah,
the butterfly,
I know,
my life
know
is over.
You know, at 3 years old, you're probably thinking that. You're just like, holy shit. You know, but anyway, I'm just saying that they make it come out to be like something terrible, you know, if you discipline your kid. But if something happens and that person carries out such a heinous crime, like say Dylan Roof, you know, what's the first thing they did? Ask, oh, well, where was his parents? You know, like I don't know. We got a caller on the line. To them. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up? Hey, Jacob.
What's up, man? So tell us what your take is on, I guess, the story that we had just went over, or if you want to comment on I guess we kind of went then digressed about disciplining our kids and then carrying out a pretty heinous crime, and then it comes back to the parents. I'm like, why did you discipline them?
Well, considering I just got off work, I'll put it in my theory. If my kids want to act like a little shit, it's when I get beat.
Yeah, narrows it down. Yeah. Yeah, Nathan, what do you think, man?
Well, as a school teacher myself, I can really vouch for what you guys are saying now. We're getting to a point where we're not even slapping people on the wrist anymore. Like, it's getting to the point now, like, I've seen kids get disciplined. They get called to the office for something they do. They come back, you know, with an apple in their hand and a pat on the head saying, oh, but you're good at heart. You know what? We need to do something about that. You know,
yeah, and another thing, tell me if this makes sense, Nathan, tell me if this makes sense. How many times, or what grade level do you teach?
I've mostly done 5 through 8, middle school ages. That's where I've been doing my work.
Okay, so it's right before they start being assholes, okay? Like, on a daily basis. You know, I'm sure you can get a few here and there, but I'm talking about, like, majority of them they're not assholes on a day-to-day basis. But you have a few that don't show up to school, right? But wait, when they come to school, they get suspended for it. Why? How does that even make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's like...
That makes no... I always thought about that when I was in school. Howard, you could probably vouch for me, too. We had somebody that never showed up,
right,
and then they got suspended for the first thing that they did, and you just gave them what the fuck they wanted. You know what I'm saying? Especially, like, skipping school. I'm skipping school. My mom brings me back to school. He's like, oh, well, should I suspend you for 5 days, or should I give you detention for 2 weeks? And I'm like... Is that a rhetorical question? It sounds pretty fucking retarded for you to suspend me for 5 days when I was trying to not be at school anyway. Why are you going to, like, grant me those 5 days? You know what I'm saying, Nathan?
Well, here's my thing. I guess if I had gotten suspended from school, I guarantee you that I would have begged to have went to school those 5 days, because I know my mother and my father would have made my life a living hell. They would have found more stuff for me to do here. By the end of the second day, I'd be begging to go back to school. That's just how I was raised. You know, I was brought up that way. I knew better. If I got if I got in trouble at school, it was over when I got home. You know, maybe I guess that's an old school mentality thing nowadays. You know, I'm 25 years old, and I go to school now and as a teacher, and I see these kids, and, you know, I see them, and I'm like, man, what could your parents be like? And then I meet the parents, and I'm like, well, now it makes sense. You know, I don't know. It's like,
yeah, and it's not bad that sounds, though, you know? But, yeah, I understand what you mean.
It may sound bad, but I don't give a fuck. I said years ago that there's people out there that should have children, and, you know, you guys seem like good fathers. You have level heads on your shoulders. You got jobs. You're doing what you can. You guys should be allowed to have children. I believe there should be an application process for the child-making industry
yeah.
of this world.
Well, if that were the case, West Virginia would run out of a population pretty quick.
You know what?
Yeah.
Good. Because there's a lot of shit going on down in Logan County that's driving me up a wall.
Nathan, can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. So you have been in – have you been in parent-teacher conferences when you've been one-on-one with the parents?
No, I'm just a sub, so I haven't had to do that per se, but I have talked to parents before. Like, I've had to break up fights and stuff, and I've had to talk to parents and deal with them. So,
after a fight, and you tell that parent, say it was the person that carried out the fight, like they instigated it, and you know it happened. What did you tell? I guess how did they react to you telling them, like, toward their kid? Was it like, Jimmy, I told you not to do that? Or was it like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you when I get home?
Most of the parents just kind of shrug it off as, you know, kids will be kids. But I'll be honest with you nowadays. Kids are getting in fights at school. I've seen it more than once. I've broken up several fights. And I'll see the kids at school the next day, and I'm like, why are you here? They're like, oh, they didn't suspend us.
That's
I'm like,
crazy.
What?
I mean, it was automatic for me and Howard, you know, Jacob, I mean, he's a little older than us, but, you know, for us, if you got in a fight at school, it was automatic 3 days, you know, and if it was, you know, a pretty,
that's
if it was a bad fight,
it
was like anywhere from 5 to 10 days.
that's how it was at our school. We always assumed that, you know, if you did something really dumb like that, then, you know, you're going to get suspended. We had fights during our standardized testing, and the principals, the assistant principal that was over it, wouldn't suspend the kids because if she did, she had to do makeup testing. So it was pretty much fucking the purge for a few weeks.
Nathan, I have a question for you. Nathan, I have a question.
Yeah.
Being a commentator for ASW, when the kids start fighting at school, do you ever just in your mind start calling commentary like, oh, God, Jimmy done hit him with the folder?
I have, like, one time I was going to let these two kids go at it for a while, and as soon as they fell into the chairs, I had to break it up.
In your head, did you call a commentary though? By God, he fell on the chair.
What is Dean Ambrose doing with all those chairs?
I wish I could do that, but honestly, like, I'm different when I'm at my job. I guess I'm a little more,
yeah.
I try to be a little more professional.
Of course,
in my mind, I'm dying to just let these kids go and just waylay each other. But, you know, it's one of those things where I want to sit there and be like, all right, now side headlock, now step over toe hold. But, unfortunately, you have to step in and try to separate them, pull them apart. But nowadays, if you touch a kid in a fight and then try to break the fight up, you can get sued. So.
Yeah, and not just that. All right, so what do you think about – guys, I know we've digressed, and I'm sorry for any of our listeners and stuff, but this is actually some pretty good stuff, and we're going to get to our next topic in a second because we will have to cut this off so we can get to the next topic. But, Nathan, how do you feel about – I mean, back – whenever you went to school, when Jacob went to school, Garrett and me and Howard, you know, fighting with a teacher was like automatic suspension. Not, I'm not talking about fist fight. I'm talking about like fuck you, f this, f that, you know. And they're like, oh, you cut, and they'll fill right on the little detention slip or whatever for you getting suspended. You cussed out a teacher. You might have just said one word, like get the fuck out of here. And then they were like, oh, you cussed out the teacher. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
Yeah.
Now it's actually progressed to where it's almost like an accolade for you to, like, put on your resume if you get in a fight with it, like a literal fight, like a fist fight with a teacher, just for them fucking taking your phone or pissing you off during class. Like, where did society go wrong in facilitating that type of mindset?
Immature parents raising immature children is the only thing I can think of.
They did away with corporal punishment.
Well, the thing is now, like, I'm 6'5", 285, so no kids really try to step up to me and say they're going to take me down because they know differently, because they know I don't give a fuck. And if some kid steps up and says me, it's going to be on. I don't care if I lose my job. Ain't nobody going to punk me out, and they're going to know about it.
Right.
So that's just
Garrett,
how I am.
What do you think?
I was, you know.
Well, I mean, I told you earlier, I got my ass whooped. Yeah, my mom always told me, you may be bigger than me, you may be stronger than me, but you will respect me. You know, my mom's like, maybe 5'5". I'm over here like 6'4", 245. And to this day, she raised her hand, hey, I'm backing out like a little bitch. I will not lie. I fear that woman. One of the greatest things she ever told me was, you know, you will respect me, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. She's like, but let me tell you one thing. She goes, I am not afraid to go to jail. She goes, cause I ain't got pay no bills. I get 3 squares a day. I get recreational time, which means I can go out and walk. I can also watch, you know, TV during my rec time. And I can read the Bible. And I got a place to lay my head. So fuck them if you want to. You're right there and there. I knew she was crazy. So I backed off.
Okay. Well, guys, all right. We will have to cut this off now and move to our next topic. I'm going to cut us to a quick break, and then we will be right back, guys.
Play Pat, what up?
My heart thumb, not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die today, the last thing you remember won't be about some apple bottom jeans with the boots with the fur. Maybe how I dream of being free since my birth. Cursed, but the demons I confronted with the spurs. Have you ever heard of some shit so real? Beyond from the heart, from the soul, you can feel. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to stay. But please don't cry, just know that I have made these songs for you.
Alright guys, we're back. That was the prayer by Kid Cudi. I have Howard Hill on here. I have Nathan Bush. I have Derek Powers. And I have Jacob Jennings on here. Or Jayco, since he forgot the B on his Facebook. And you're listening to At the Top. And I'm your host, Trey Hayes. You're welcome, Howard. And I want to let everybody know that we actually reached over 1,200 listeners last show. We're just trying to keep going from there. Go to the Facebook page for the podcast or radio show, whatever you want to call it. It's At the Top with Trey Hayes, T-R-E-H-A-Y-E-S. Like the page and then invite somebody. And if you want, send me a message and ask to be a special guest or a special call-in guest. And we'll get you on the show and you can rant and rave just like we do. Our next topic, Garrett, I'm going to stick with you on this because initially and everybody else can jump in and take and have put their take in on it. But I'm going to read you this title. And then I want you to give me two words of your initial reaction. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Pentagon may lift ban on transgender people. Two words.
Shit.
Well, that was pretty much what I was expecting.
Yeah. Cricket.
Yeah, that's the same way I feel about it. People that don't know, like civilians and stuff, if you guys don't know, a few years ago, they lifted the ban on don't ask, don't tell policy, which meant that you could join if you were gay, but you just could. It was like a don't ask, don't tell policy. They ended up lifting that a couple of years ago, stating that you can be openly gay in the military now. Obviously, it doesn't pertain to being in uniform. As there's not supposed to be any type of fraternization while you're in uniform. But for you guys that don't know, transgender has actually been a huge topic in the Pentagon for years now. It says the Pentagon could in the coming months lift the ban on transgender people openly serving in the U.S. military. They announced it Monday, a plan to study readiness implications of welcoming transgender persons to serve openly. Also said, at a time when our troops have learned from experience that the most important qualification for service members should be whether they're able and willing to do their job. Our officers and enlisted personnel are faced with certain rules that tell them opposite. Moreover, we have transgender soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, real patriotic Americans who I know are being hurt by an outdated, confusing, inconsistent approach that's contrary to our value of service and individual merit. Pretty much, guys, what it's saying is so it says currently those in the military who are diagnosed with gender dysphoria or who identify as transgender are not permitted to take hormones or act upon their transgender status by dressing in military uniforms or living in barracks different than their established government status. Meaning, if someone's transgender, they can't claim, let's say they were a male before they joined the Army or the Navy, Marines, Air Force, they can't live in, like, the female barracks even if they were dressing as a female and taking female hormones. They're not able to do that anymore. So they had to stop that in order to join the military. I could care less. If you have my back, you have my back. I really don't care who you are or what you are. I think me and you both can vouch for them. I mean, I really don't care who you are or how you look, how you dress, who you lay down with at night, who makes you happy. I don't care less, you know, as long as I know that you have my back whenever, you know, that's needing to happen, you know.
Well, okay. I've met some females that like they were better than the guys I was with. You know what I'm saying? They were stronger, faster, better sharp, you know, better shooter. They could lift weights. Like they were pretty stout. You know what I'm saying? I've met some guys that were very feminist like. I've never came across a guy that openly told me he was gay. I never came across a female that told me she was openly, you know, a lesbian. All right? I'm a firm believer in as long as you do your job, you got my back, I got yours. You know what I'm saying? But the minute you try to put something in my back, we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? For y'all that don't understand what I'm saying, I'm talking about butt fucking. Now, I guess my concern would be that if, let's say it's a dude, let's say this is a gentleman, right? And he decides to have he wants to be a woman, so he gets the implants, but he still has his tallywhacker. And he goes in the service, well, he registers as a female. And now, when he goes to the female bathroom, you know what I'm saying, in a foreign country, you know, they got female and male latrines, and that's a bathroom for y'all that don't understand lingo. So this dude's going to go in there with, you know, tits and a dick. He's going to wash his ass. Now, the females might feel awkward because, holy shit, this dude or chick or shim has a penis. But she's also got titties. So how do we react? You know what I'm saying? You very rarely see females that get their tits taken away and get something dangling between their legs that go into the male shower. It's very, very fucking rare. Like, I've never seen it, never heard of it. So I think I speak on behalf of the females, and I say that's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But if they don't say shit, and they're very secretive, they can, like, sneak in there and not get caught, whatever, hey, do your thing. Don't try to butt-fuck nobody.
So you're saying that you can care less as long as it doesn't make other service members who aren't transgender uncomfortable. That's pretty much what you're saying.
As long as they can do their fucking job. That's all I would care about. If I can count on you to watch my six, I have no problem with you. But the minute you fuck up, we're going to have some problems. I might shoot my damn self. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just all I am. I'm a firm believer in just, I'm not going to judge you on your, you know, gender, religion, nothing. But if you can't, you know, cover my back when I'm going down, then we got problems. I mean, you know me.
Right.
I work Jacob for you, so you should know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jacob, Howard, Nathan, if you guys have anything to say about this topic?
Give me one second. I just got home from work. I was coming upstairs. I mean, a person is a person. I don't see what it matters. That's all I'm saying.
I personally look at it like, as long as we just need, as a society, as human beings in general, need to quit worrying about everybody else. Worry about you. Whenever this person comes at you to do something, that's when you need to worry about them. But if they're, like you said, if they can do their job and they handle themselves and, you know, hey, if you want to be a goat or a lizard or something, I say go for it. Do what you got to do. You know?
Howard,
who am I to tell you what to do with yourself?
Right. Howard, do you have anything, man?
I pretty much disagree with what Nathan just said and what Garrett said about, you know, as long as you're doing your job, everything's okay. And I also agree with Nathan where he says that we shouldn't care exactly what everyone, what they want to pretty much identify. So, I mean, there's not much else to say. These guys have all covered it pretty well.
I got something to add.
Yeah.
When I was still working at Kmart, there was actually a transgender woman that worked to the registers, and there were a few times I went through her line. And she actually was one of the most by-the-book, like, she could have been the person doing the training videos. I mean, called you by your name, like, on your shop your way card, thank you for shopping at the store, all that. I mean, no other cashier in that store would do that. She was one of the most buy the book, do her job. And, you know, that's the thing. If somebody's doing their job, what's it matter? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard other employees at Kmart, like, especially female employees, talking about, if that freak uses our bathroom, I'm complaining to the management about it. You'd be like, you know, I was like, dude, she's doing her job. You know, she's one of the best employees they had. But she ended up moving way before I quit. But, like, I just, people are so judgmental. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's
all I'm saying. Hold on, real quick, Garrett. Everybody stay still. I'm going to start kicking people off because of too much noise and stuff. But go ahead, Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. You know, basically, you know, if they can do their job, I have no problem with them. If you actually, you know, if you join a service, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people, if you're actually getting that time frame when you got to deploy and go to combat, it's a little bit easier to understand, you know. But if you don't really understand the whole combat situation, it's easier to not really, I guess, pass judgment, I guess. But like I said, I've been down there with, you know, with guys. I didn't even know they were gay until many years later, and females that were, you know, they were into other females, and I never even thought twice about it, you know, years after I found out. Because they did their job, and I guess that's the biggest thing. If you do your job, they ain't got no problem. But if you can't do your job, and you're going to use, you know, your gender as a crutch, then that's where I got a problem.
Yeah, agreed. All right, guys, we're going to switch topics. This is going to be our last one for current events before we get to Howard and today in history. Also, talk about notable birthdays, and then we're going to get to Garrett's topic. All right, so. Dez Bryant, if you really don't know, is a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys right now. He is, because I want to get a sports topic in there, he's actually holding out and told the Cowboys openly, even in the press, that he's going to not go to training camp. He's not going to play during the season if a long-term contract is not, I guess, presented to him for him to sign. So, what I guess, Garrett, being from Texas, what's your take on it?
Well, honestly, I feel that we should go, the NFL should go to where, hey, you know what, if you win, you get a little bit extra money. If the two teams play, you know, they're all going to get paid a certain amount. But if you win, you get more money. The more wins you get, the more money you get. You know what I'm saying? Some of these guys are getting contracts for like $19 million for like 3 years with so much guaranteed. I'm sitting here like, I actually work for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I barely made fucking like $5,000 a month. So, I mean, it kind of burns my ass when I see NFL players getting mad because they're not getting a very good amount of money for so many years. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have a college degree, so what makes him so special compared to people out there that do have a college degree? You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't care really about the price. As he's getting, he's promised $13 million a year, which he said he's totally okay with. He tweeted, and I'll read it right now. He had tweeted, he said, "As much as I love football, I'm a beautiful baby, I apologize, hashtag Cowboy Nation, but I will not be there if no deal. Hashtag fact." Another one, he had said, "Everybody voicing opinion, 13 mil is cool, but where is my security? I'll wait." He said, "5 years without complaining, so how am I being selfish?" Pretty much, he's okay with the 13 million. He doesn't want to go up in money. He just wants to have that security blanket, you know. Because, I mean, and a lot of people can justify this, saying that, you know, one year contract says a lot about someone. You know what I'm saying? So he's just wanting that security blanket because he is that good. He does deserve a franchise tag. I think the Cowboys should do it. I don't really care. I don't hold stock. I don't care. I'm just tired of hearing it.
There's nothing wrong with wanting a long-term extension, but, I mean, even still, if you need to choose that 1 year, you know what I'm saying? Let's say you had an outstanding year. They're probably going to sign you to a longer extension, or another team will step up, and they'll probably pay you just a little bit more for another extension. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't, I mean, damn, you got a gift, so use it. Don't sit out for 5 years. It's, maybe that's all you can do, afford is like 1 year. So just take the 1 year and fucking go with it. Be grateful you're getting fucking money.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You guys have anything else to add, Jacob Nathan Howard?
He made that catch.
I'll say this. Dez Bryant is going to get his money. He's going to get his years. Dallas needs to quit dragging their feet. They traded DeMarco Murray, or they got rid of DeMarco Murray. They let him go because they knew they were going to keep Dez Bryant. That was the whole point of letting Murray go. The offensive line is fierce. They put me and Howard in the backfield, and we're both going to rush for 1,000 yards this season. That's how it is. That offensive line is scary. Okay?
Yeah, you're right. And releasing DeMarco Murray, you know, opened up a lot of cap space, you know, so why not give that to your second-best player in Dez Bryant, you know, behind Romo.
Well,
so I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
They've got Tony Romo. They've got one of the best receivers in football in Dez Bryant. Tershawn Choice is a solid, solid player. You know, it's like, just pay the guy. Go ahead and pay him. Don't let him miss out on camp, because if you miss out on camp, then all you're doing is just creating drama that don't need to be created. You let guys go so you can bring him back and give him the money that he rightfully earned and deserves. Go ahead and pay him. You know, the Cowboys are going to be an elite team this season.
Right, and if it's not Dez Bryant, then who's going to be your main wide receiver, you know? Who's going to step up in Dez Bryant's shoes as of right now, you know?
Terrence Williams.
Let's think about this. What if this is a publicity stunt? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if he's holding out, but not because he wants to get a long-term contract, but what if he's, like, injured but don't want nobody to know?
I think it's a mountain out of a molehill, because it is Dallas. If this is going on in Jacksonville, nobody gives a shit because it's Dallas.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Cecil Shorts, nobody's raising any eyebrows. It's like, oh, Cecil Shorts is holding out. Who the fuck's that? You know, that's just how it is in the NFL. Dallas, New England, Denver. If it's not happening there, nobody has a clue.
Yeah, big name, big
name.
Yeah,
I get that.
It goes off of. Yeah. All right. So, guys, what we're going to get to is, do you guys have any shout-outs before we get to today in history? Howard, we'll start with you.
Well, just pretty much shout-out to everyone that's listening, man. Once again, thank you all for listening. You guys are what makes this show so great, what makes us want to keep doing it. So, thank all of you.
Yeah, and another thing before we get to Nathan and his shout-out, message me during the show. Message me on Facebook. Message me on the live chat. And you can talk to myself and Howard on there, since we're on there right now. Don't wait until after the show, because most of you guys wait until after the show and then you message me. So, Nathan, shout out.
I want to give a shout out to the guy that sold me that Gibson SG the other day at a very great price. Thank you, Alex. You're a great guy. Go like Meet Me in the Matinee on Facebook and listen to our music. That's a shout out.
Garrett? Shout out to Behind the Bush.
Wow.
For those that don't know, I hosted Howard's podcast last night. And Top of the Hill, I named it Behind the Bush.
I guess I'll give a shout out to Justin Schmidt and Bradley Cox. There's a whole lot of other motherfuckers out there, but I mean, I ain't gonna say shit if you ain't gonna fucking like the page and listen. So you need to let us know if you're gonna listen, fuckers.
Jacob.
I just want to give a shout out to Dean Malenko and his personality.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and go to Howard. Howard, go ahead with today in history, man.
Okay, before we do that real quick, Nathan, you forgot the shout outs to Sarah Bareilles and who else was it?
I forgot.
Sarah Bareilles and some of
Miley Cyrus.
We had some fun last night on my podcast with Nathan hosting, man. That was good. If you guys want, you can go back and listen to that. Oh,
yeah,
all right.
It was good.
So let's see here.
Funny. I love my favorite part of the show. Before we get to that, my favorite part of the show was how mad Nathan got whenever you were reading the lyrics of Stacey's Mom and acted as if it was a story. Garrett, what I'm going to do, man, is I'm going to post it on my Facebook and I'll tag you in it. It was like one of the funniest times that I've ever heard someone say on live air. It was just so funny because Nathan was hosting it, you know, and his last name's Bush, so he's behind the bush. And Howard was telling him, you know, he wanted to vent, so he wanted to go on and tell Nathan what he was venting, you know, what he wanted to vent about. And he was like reading the lyrics of Stacey's Mom, but making it out to sound like a real life story. It was literally the funniest thing because Nathan was like, if this is another motherfucking lyric story, I'm gonna be pissed.
That's fucking epic. You know what? Hey, I can't compete. So I'm about to rack him up there. I'll buy you a beer.
Oh man. I mean, my 21st birthday is next week, so.
I guess I'm about to make a special trip.
Yeah. All right. So let's see here. Today in history, guys. As early as I can see right here, something that's really noteworthy, in my opinion. In 1923, the Hollywood sign is officially dedicated in the hills above Hollywood, L.A., California. It originally read Hollywood Land, but the four last letters were dropped after the renovation in 1949. After that, you guys have... I think I want to start from now on when I do Today in History. After each event, I'll stop for a second and let you guys, if you got any thoughts on anything, brief thoughts on, you know, the event, if you guys want to talk about that. So anyone got anything about the Hollywood sign?
Hollywood
I didn't know that.
Land?
Yeah, you guys didn't know Hollywood Land was the original sign?
It was Hollywood Land.
Just because you found out about it like 10 seconds ago, don't make us feel like assholes, okay?
No, dude, I've actually known that for a few years now. I think it was because of...
I don't know. I know that shit. I thought of Hollywood.
All right, so let's see here. We've got there's a big gap here. In 1973... Alexander Butterfield reveals the existence of the Nixon tapes to the Special Senate Committee investigating the Watergate break-in. I know that was a huge incident, but I really don't know too many details on that. So you guys got any anything to say about that? Or?
Man.
Well,
Watergate.
Nathan was on the Nixon administration, so he could tell you.
Yeah, my old ass. I'm 25 years old. Nah, man,
that's
like
it?
Watergate. Yeah, that's it.
I'm like, damn, I'm over here like, damn, I'm 31, I don't even remember that shit.
Well, I majored in history in college, so I had to know about
it. Okay, I've been drinking a lot, so that's probably why.
Watergate was just a huge conspiracy by the Nixon Party, Howard, to basically listen in on the Democratic National Convention. It was a huge, like, basically just spy thing that they got busted for. And I'm pretty sure that it had been done before, but nobody could ever really uncover it. They were going to impeach Nixon for it, but Nixon resigned before he could be impeached. So, yeah, at least just two other presidents in the past to be impeached. Nixon was not one of them, so. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, we've got in 1977 in New York City, amidst a period of financial and social turmoil, they experienced an electrical blackout lasting nearly 24 hours that led to widespread fires and looting. So
it was actually a 25-hour blackout, and it actually had like a bunch of rioting and looting, and I couldn't imagine. I mean. Back in 1977, it was a big city. I couldn't imagine, Jacob, if you're still on here, man, what do you think if, what would be the difference between it having a 25-hour blackout in 1977 compared to, say, if it happened today?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, with technological advances, between like
1977.
Wait, what?
77.
Oh, 77. Just like technological advances between then and now. I'm sure they had generators back then, but I'm sure they weren't as advanced now. They run like emergency lightings, and they're probably more just for like maybe lights, like your essentials, your lights, your refrigerator, stuff like that. Keep your food good.
All right.
I think hospitals would have been fine, but I think there would have been a huge riot because of social media. You know, kids can't go 30 seconds like in their Facebook and tweeting about what they did at the coffee shop, how they bought a spiced chai latte with extra cream, medium size, and saw a cute guy or a cute girl and sat down and was tweeting about their tweet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it'd been a huge riot. Me, myself, of course, I'd been outside playing in the dirt. I'd have candles to light, so I'm good.
All right.
Just throwing it out there.
And let's see here. Today in 1985, Vice President George H.W. Bush becomes the acting president for the day when President Ronald Reagan undergoes surgery to remove polyps from his colon. So that was H.W. Bush's first taste as president, even though it was just for a day. And, of course, after that, he led up and became president. So
I thought he became
president. Yeah, that went over well, too, that presidency, didn't it?
Yeah. Any Bush presidency, for that matter.
All right, and the most recent thing I got here is in 2013, today in 2013, George Zimmerman is found not guilty in the shooting of Trayvon Martin.
Oh, shit.
Of course.
The first
that
of
was,
what, three?
2 years ago today.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, when he also, like, convicted of shooting, like, two other people and found not guilty until finally
that.
The third one is found guilty?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
I know he shot more than one person. He got away with one or two of them. And like
right.
Either the second or third one, he was found finally guilty, and everybody's like, really? Like, that's old. Like, what the fuck?
Right. And before I jump over to the famous birthdays real fast, there's another newsworthy incident that happened just about 2 days ago. For those of you that don't know, the president and CEO of Nintendo, his name was, let me try to pronounce this.
Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. Satoru Iwata. He died at age 55. And I'll go ahead and read this little article here. It says, Nintendo has just released a short statement announcing that President Satoru Iwata has passed away at the age of 55. The statement reads, Nintendo Company deeply regrets to announce that President Satoru Iwata passed away on July 11th, 2015 due to a bile duct growth. Iwata was forced to skip last year's E3 due to his poor health and shortly afterwards underwent surgery to remove the bile duct growth. A few months later, in the wake of concerns over his health, he said via Twitter, I'm progressing well. He first joined Nintendo back in the 1980s, where he worked on games like Balloon Fight and Earthbound. He became a director of the company in 2000, and in 2002 was appointed as only the fourth president of Nintendo when he succeeded Hiroshi Yamauchi. In his time as president, Iwata oversaw some of the strongest Wii and DS and weakest GameCube and Wii U periods in Nintendo's history as a video game company. In recent times, he developed almost cult status as the host of the Nintendo Direct programs, an immensely popular figure both within the industry and Nintendo fans. He will be sorely missed. Rest in peace, Mr. Iwata. And a few other things here. Something really noteworthy, I think, back in the N64 days, he was credited in Pokemon Stadium. He coded the battle program in a week for Pokemon Stadium for N64. Just to put that in perspective, it took the original creators of Pokemon to code the battle system. It took them about a year before they released Red and Blue. And he was just able to put that on the N64 completely redone in about a week. And in Pokemon Gold and Silver on the Game Boy, he was able to compress the game files so much that they were able to put the map from the first two games into that game. So he was really, really
skillet coating. And people have been, you know, tweeting and all over social media and everything, talking about how they, you know, pray for his soul and all that. And just the other day, a rainbow appeared over Nintendo's headquarters in Kyoto, Japan, and was dubbed as the Rainbow Road to Heaven, a reference to Rainbow Road Mario Kart. But I think it's pretty cool that rainbow was just over Nintendo headquarters yesterday, you know, after his death, and I think it's a pretty cool sign. So if any of you got anything to say about that, go ahead. If not, we'll jump into the birthdays.
I was going to have some today in history, and that was about it. I just have two.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. The first one was in 1982. This is sports. 1982, the All-Star Game was played outside the United States for the first time. They played in Montreal, Canada, so that's pretty cool. And then in 2005, today in disaster history, in southern Pakistan near Ghazni, three trains collided after a signal was misread. At least 127 people were killed and hundreds were injured. Yeah. Oh, and this is a pretty big one. In 1971, this is today in death history, the army of Morocco executed 10 leaders accused of leading a revolt. So that's I wouldn't say that's pretty cool, but that's eventful, I guess. Howard, go ahead and have a notable birthdays, man.
All right. In 1942, Harrison Ford was born. You know what? I'm getting lazy on these, I've noticed. I haven't actually given you guys what age they are now, so I'm going to start doing that next show. I don't have it set up now, but next show I'll start doing that. But today is Harrison Ford's birthday. He was born in 1942. You guys do the math. In 1946, Cheech Marin, of course, from Cheech and Chong fame, was born in 1946. Today in 1955, Mark Mendoza, the bass player from Twisted Sister and The Dictators. Two separate bands there. It's his birthday today. In 1962, one of my favorite voice actors of all time, Tom Kenny. Tom Kenny, he's most famous for voicing SpongeBob. Also, another voice that I like that he did was Spyro the Dragon in the second and third games of that series. And he's done countless other voice acting gigs.
Cat, Dog, Family Guy.
He also had an appearance in the movie World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams.
Huh. But, happy birthday to Tom Kenny. In 1967, I'm not sure if too many of you guys know about this, Benny Benassi, Italian DJ and producer, works with, you know, the Benassi brothers. You know, the song's like, it's called Satisfaction by him. He's a pretty cool artist. I like some of his music. And most recently that I found, in 1972, Sean Waltman, a.k.a. X-Pac, a.k.a. I Tore My Anus in the Ring Corner, was born in 1972. Nathan, I'm pretty sure you know this story better than I. Would you like to go ahead and elaborate a little bit on it real fast?
Yeah, Sean Waltman's a fuckhead. And he does a move called the Bronco Buster. He's laying in the corner, and he goes to do said Bronco Buster on a guy. He notably rips his asshole, is taken to the hospital where countless asshole jokes are made at his expense. He goes back, watches his porno he made with China, goes back to doing cocaine, and then decides that he's going to call up his buddy Triple H and relive the glory days, because the only reason he was ever worth anything in the wrestling business was because he was friends with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall. Sean Waltman from Nathan Bush, happy birthday, go fuck yourself.
Could not have been said any better. All right, and that's all
of
the
best shout out ever. Best birthday wishes. I love it.
There we go. That's all for me, Trey. Go ahead.
All right, we're going to go to birthdays real quick. I just want to go to, I guess, people that I would know or some of you may know. I'm not sure. Just birthdays that I have through friends on Facebook. One is Jared Page, who is a co-host on here. He turns 19 today. Tiffany Lowe, I have no idea who you are. I'm sorry. Not sorry. But happy birthday. And Clifton Robertson, he's actually one of my NCOs that I now work with. Really, really good guy. He turned 33 years old today. I told him I'd give him a $20 bill tomorrow so he can get beer. And I told him I'd write on there beer money only. And he thinks I'm joking, but I'm not. That's pretty much it. We'll let those people know that we give them a shout out. Garrett, the floor is yours, boss.
Damn. All right. For all of you listeners out there, I'm very, very disappointed if you don't call in. But I would like for people to call in and tell me their favorite movie. I don't care what type it is. I mean, it's a comedy, horror, parody spoof, sci-fi, I don't care. Call in and tell me what your favorite movie is and why. And I'll give you an example. Most recently, okay, one of my favorite movies here recently was Zombievers. You may laugh all you want, but it is comical. It is a very, if you like zombies, it's awesome. You know, it's pretty good. Basically, what happens is a zombie or, you know, some kind of chemical gets in the river, the beavers touch it, and they basically, if they bite you, you eventually will turn into a beaver, like a human beaver. It is very funny. Like I said, I have a fucked up sense of humor, and I like it when I'm drunk. Another example is a cult classic, The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. If you don't like Bruce Campbell, go fuck yourself.
But agreed.
Those are cult classics, man. You like his with what little money he had, he made these movies, and the makeup and effects were awesome. They didn't have all that, you know, digital shit back then. The original Evil Dead was made for his college to graduate to be, you know, a movie producer. The guy said it was so great that he wanted to make it a movie. They made a movie. A lot of fans wanted a part two, so he had to remake it because he didn't really leave it open for a continuation. So he made The Evil Dead 2, which is basically The Evil Dead but remade better. And then technically The Army of Darkness is part two to The Evil Dead 2. So, I recommend, if you've never seen it, fucking jump on, Amazon, Vudu, Netflix, whatever the fuck you got, and watch it. It is worth watching. I promise you, if you don't like it, well, then you can call me up or send me a message on Facebook and tell me I suck at life, and I'll just laugh at you and probably try to hunt you down. So,
for most people, spoofs is actually like, you know, Austin Powers and stuff like that. There's actually one I'm actually looking at right now.
You know, Goldmember was a parody spoof. He made fun of Goldfinger of the James Bond. You also got the Naked Gun, Hot Shots Part 2. Anything can be a parody spoof. It's all what you want. You know,
right.
Like Repossessed made fun of the Exorcist. So, I mean, I want to hear what y'all think or what y'all's favorite movie and why.
Well, this one right here I'm looking at, it's actually ranked number 7 out of 10 of all-time parody or spoof movies that were actually hilarious. And it says, the movie's called The Kentucky Fried Movie. It was made in 1977. This is what it says. It says, you know when you go to a restaurant and they offer those appetizer samplers, the ones that have chips, mozzarella sticks, wings, etc.? Well, that's what the Kentucky Fried Movie is. It's only less edible. The brainchild of the Zucker Brothers, you know, the guys responsible for Airplane. I guess that's another spoof. The Kentucky Fried Movie is made up of a collection of sketches following no linear storyline. So yeah, it just says the sketches spoof of a wide variety of things, including but not limited to the evening news, Black Exploitation films, and Bruce Lee's epic Enter the Dragon. So yeah. I just thought it was a funny title.
All right. I guess I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, you know
Another thing, guys, for anybody else, even the panel on here, it doesn't have to be a movie either. Let's open it and make it wider. if it's a video or a small clip or whatever it is, tell us, even if we haven't heard of it. Just if you think it's funny, go for it.
Okay. I'll handle this. I like to consider myself a movie person.
You're no Caleb Luther.
I'm not. Yeah, I only wish I was his great speech.
I'm trying to get him on for this.
My favorite movie, personally, ever, was The Godfather Part 1. It's perfect. Francis Ford Coppola does no wrong. James Caan, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, or no, De Niro's in Part 2. Marlon Brando, Talia Shear, it's just fantastic. It's a mafia movie, and it's the best movie.
Oh, I agree completely.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie. I have a list of top five. Includes Shawshank Redemption, A Clockwork Orange. It's a Stanley Kubrick, and it's incredible.
Oh yeah.
In Bruges with Colin Farrell and Ralph Fiennes. Incredible movie too. And of course, Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorites. But if you're talking about parodies, I think there's two parodies that I didn't hear. That if you want to talk best parody movies ever, number one to me is Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
Yes.
I laugh every time I watch that movie. I think it's the funniest parody movie ever, and it's so good that it's better than every movie that it makes fun of to me.
yeah, it is pretty good.
The other parody movie I'm really big on is Spaceballs as a big Star Wars junkie. I love Spaceballs. I think it's fantastic. There's so many. I've seen so many good movies. I just watched the one the other night that I really, really liked. It had Keira Knightley in it. It was called Begin Again. Actually, very good movie. It's based around music. As a musician, I really get into music, a lot of movies that deal with music and music industries. Inside Llewyn Davis is another great movie that people should watch. And if you're looking for movies out there, Coen Brothers, thank me later. That's it.
I'm hoping we got callers that will actually call in for once, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have 3 minutes left on live air, but yeah.
I got a question for Nathan.
Okay.
Since we opened up to a broader spectrum here, is one of your favorite videos of all time One Night in China?
Oh, Jesus. I'm partial to the sequel, Backdoor in China, myself. No, when it comes to videos, man, I swear to God, I watched the video of somebody made where they took Chad Kroeger singing "Look at this photograph" and they said,
"Oh God,"
changed it to "Look at this graph."
Yes.
I swear to God, I almost pissed myself the first time I saw it. I literally laughed for like 20 minutes.
One Night in China is funny.
Yeah, Sean
Jacob,
Walton,
have you watched
still, if you're still listening, go to hell.
Wait.
Jacob, have you ever watched One Night in China?
No.
I have.
What? Come on.
I got 10 minutes in, and that was the best I could do.
That's why you just kind of like, you just laugh at the acting and just laugh at them and like, okay, we're going to rewind to the good parts, and we're going to rewatch it from there, and we're going to reenact the scenes.
Basically.
By the way, my wife is listening. Don't just ignore that last part and just go to bed. just
all right,
go to
guys,
bed. Don't
60 seconds left. We're going to go to the post show because I want to talk more about this, and we're going to release some titles of the video of some videos that are spoofs and parodies that you can listen to archived, or you can call in, let me know that you just want to listen. That's fine. The number is 646-787-1811. We're going to go ahead and play us out. Guys, tell me, do you want to listen to Carry On the Wayward Son or Journey, Don't Stop Believing?
Carry On.
Journey.
We heard Carry On last time.
Ah, oh, damn it, fine.
All right, here we go.
Eat shit, Nathan Bush.
Fuck. Hey, Nathan, don't forget, Don't Stop Believing.
I like this song. It's just, I like Kansas more.
He took the midnight train. Just the city
and we're not going to listen to that because all of you guys will break out in your illustrious voices. But we'll save that for another show. We'll actually have a sing-along. How's that sound? We can have that as a skit, Howard. What do you think?
That sounds epic.
I think it would be pretty epic. Just title it Sing Along, and then I wonder how many fucking listeners we'll have.
I had to listen to 7th and 8th graders when I subbed for a chorus class sing that song. Steve Perry is rolling over in his bed because he's alive because of what I had to hear that day. Oh,
guys,
my God.
I have an announcement to make. The movie guru himself, Caleb Luther, will be calling in momentarily.
Oh, God, I'm out of here.
Okay. All right, guys. So,
why Adaptation is the greatest movie ever made in the history of movies.
There's a couple of videos I want to talk to you guys about because they're fucking hilarious. One is Abraham Lincoln and how Abraham Lincoln really died. Have you guys seen
that?
Yes. Yeah, why does Kid You Know is awesome.
So,
that's a hilarious video.
So funny. If you haven't seen it, you need to. Apparently, Abraham Lincoln was killed by a hammer for calling John Wilkes Booth a lazy piece of shit or a tub of lard-looking motherfucker. So that's pretty much that. That, and then another one was spoofs. If you haven't looked up spoofs on YouTube for George Bush speeches, you need to. Type in George Bush zombie speech. It is like the funniest thing I've ever heard. What we'll do is on next show, I'll actually have it as an audio clip for us to listen to it. It is literally the funniest thing I've ever heard George Bush say, and that says a lot because he did say some funny shit. So, do you guys have any videos that are pretty epic?
Look up the sketch Key and Peele did on Pegasus. And news getting started on a slow news day. Just look up where they go to the black neighborhood and talk about Pegasus. I'm telling you, like they had the cop from Reno 911 on there.
Oh yeah.
And I swear to God, that was like the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
I got
to see it all together. It's hilarious. But go ahead.
I was just saying, I got a couple of YouTube videos out. And I can't watch without crying and laughing so hard. You know, what was that one with the soccer kid between the two colleges? His name's Scott Sterling.
Oh God, yeah, the goal
where he gets kicked in the face by like 5 times by the ball.
Scott Sterling.
Yeah, that and the Saturday Night Live kid with the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing at that, but. Oh, I was going to tell you something earlier today. My son, bless his heart, I love my son, he's 7 years old. He thinks Abraham Lincoln was killed by a vampire because he has Abraham Lincoln versus the vampires. I tried to explain to him what really happened, and he refused, like, no, Daddy, you're wrong. He died by a vampire.
I could just imagine you taking one of his history books and just throwing it at his face and making contact. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's how I feel that you would take that.
I usually forgive him because he makes sure he runs and tells my wife to make me another Jack and Coke, and he brings it to me. So I mean, I can't get mad at him. I'm like, you know what? That's the lead movie by all means. He'll learn something eventually.
Yeah.
Jacob.
And go ahead.
Jacob, I have a question. Are you able to merge calls on your phone?
I don't think so. I'm not done.
Because Caleb tried to call the number, but I think where it went off of being live, he's not able to get on. I'm going to try to switch over.
I can't call him either. So go ahead.
I'm going to try to have him call me and try to merge calls. So we'll see how that works. If I don't come back, you'll know what happened. My phone just didn't work, but I'm going to try to merge him in. So I'll be back.
While we're talking about videos, has anybody else seen Dr. Tran?
Dr. Tran.
Yeah, it's like a little cartoon. It's like a 7-minute video on YouTube. It's the best thing you will ever watch.
Really?
Yes.
Like T-R-A-N?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
It's the best thing you will ever watch. I'm telling you.
Buddy, has anybody happened to look up the... Oh, shoot, I had it. It was the College Humor video called, if anybody's Star Wars fans listening, the Cantina Band Auditions. Any of you guys Star Wars fans?
Yeah. I watched them. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, look that up, because I'm telling you, I watched that video, and it's got like a lot of famous musicians in it. And it's daggone hilarious, some of the stuff that they do in that.
Okay.
Oh, God.
What's it called?
Cantina Band Auditions. Star Wars Cantina Band Auditions.
Okay. I'm going to look that up before I get home. Cause like I said, I'm going to service. I'm not in the boondocks.
I got to drive 5 miles to get service. I'm on a house phone, so.
Old school, sucker.
That's right.
Yeah, I was in West Virginia a few years ago where they do that, when there's like a major accident or some shit. It's like right down the road from West Virginia University.
Hmm. Oh, the,
was it a mine disaster? Yeah. That where the fire department goes and they do all that quick response shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for some training, and we had to drive.
I don't remember what mine that was.
Yeah, we had to drive up that mountain and and avoid the trucks bringing coal down and shit just to for the training. I'm sitting there like, get the fuck out of here.
Sounds like West Virginia.
Good times.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm back. My phone will not merge calls, but I do have an announcement to make. One o'clock. My time, Eastern time, which is going to be in about 23 minutes or so. I'm going to host an episode of Top of the Hill, and we're going to have Caleb Luther on to talk about some movies. Also, Nathan, I want you to be on that too.
Caleb talking about movies.
I mean, you can talk with him about it. Anyone else on the line wants to call in, I'll be there. Anyone else that's on the line wants to call in, talk with Nathan, Caleb, myself. You're more than welcome to.
So I'm trying to download. I'm trying to upload the audio clip of the zombie speech because it is just. I can't get over how funny it was to me when I first watched it. Okay, here we go.
Mr. President, in your recent budget, just to make sure I understand, you're asking for a $50 billion emergency defense supplemental to protect America from zombies.
I believe this is the great challenge of the beginning of the 21st century.
Zombies, who eat brains, just so I know we're on the same page here.
That's what they do. That's what they said they want to do. They have objectives.
With all due respect, Mr. President, are you sure this wasn't a movie you saw? I mean, why?
Because they're real.
Yeah, but why is that?
And it's a danger to the American people. It's a danger to your children, Jim.
Sorry, my name is Barry.
Chen.
No, Barry.
Ed.
It's Barry. Just think of blueberry or strawberry. That way you'll always remember it.
Thanks, Ed. They are a direct threat to the United States, and I'm going to keep talking about it.
The zombies. You say they're eating our brains.
They need to be eating U.S. beef. Good for them.
Okay.
They'll like it.
For the sake of argument, even in the movies, zombies seem to move really, really slowly. Why couldn't we just outrun them?
If we leave, they follow us.
Right. But really slowly. I mean, shouldn't we be focusing more on Bin Laden?
They're dangerous. And I can't put it any more plainly, they're dangerous.
Right. Does this explain reports that you attacked people who were on the White House tour?
I knew this was going to be an explosive issue.
Yeah, you removed their heads.
I wanted to remove even more.
So, Over the months, you decapitated 11 tourists. You now say we're all zombies.
I thought it was interesting how you started your question. Over the months, I think you said. Over the last months.
Forget the time period. It's not the time span that concerns
us. Let me finish this one. I'm on a roll here. And they have made it abundantly clear what they want.
Human brains.
Because, you see, what they're going to try to do is kill as many innocent people as they can.
You're claiming the heat of the moon causes the dead to rise from their graves and walk among us, and
so it could be a bloody, it could be a very difficult August, and I fully understand.
Is there any proof, any scientific evidence of an actual biological difference between these zombies and, say, just slow-moving tourists, sir? Mr. President?
They are a threat to your children, David.
How exactly can we recognize one of these zombies? Is it their pallid complexion, the lizard-like stare?
And he was referencing Dick Cheney in that video as the vice president at the time. I think that is like one of the, and if you watch the video, it's even funnier because it looks like Bush is actually responding to this guy's questions. And I don't know, it's just, George Bush is a funny guy, just to begin with.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. The very first time I ever watched it, I started crying because I was like, why have I not seen this before, you know? It was that funny.
Wow.
So, yeah, what did you guys think of it?
That was pretty great.
That was great.
So yeah, I think that actually tops as one of Bush's best speeches.
That's hilarious. I know that I know Garrett found it hilarious.
Oh my God,
yeah.
That was perfect. Zombies are they're a danger to your kids.
My favorite Bush thing, my favorite Bush thing of all time was the commencement speech he gave at a college, saying, you know, congratulating everybody that made A's and 4.0s, and he goes, and all you C students out there, you too can be president one day. I thought that was pretty great.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty funny. All right, guys, so we're going to go ahead and play an outro. I'm sure that we will have Garrett on again. Howard, Nathan, Garrett, Jacob, I want to thank all you guys for being on. And we'll switch right over to Howard's show. And on top of the hill. So I'm going to play a Fabulous and Temptations, guys. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Motown.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me.